All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, one more point about Connor McDavid here. As last night, the Oilers lost to the Stanley Cup Final for the second year in a row to the Florida Panthers. And now the ensuing conversation is about the future of Connor McDavid. I can't believe I'm about to ask this question. But with the status of Connor McDavid being uncertain, and Connor McDavid is about to enter the final year of his contract, if let's just say he does not get an extension this offseason, if he just doesn't want to agree to one for whatever the reasons are, if you're the Oilers, don't you have to trade him? I know it sounds crazy, right? Us talking about McDavid, not with the Oilers. Us talking about the Oilers trading the best player in the league. But with 1 year left on the contract, if the best player in the league does not give you his assurance that this deal's going to get done, and right, he can name a price, he can name the years, and I'm sure the Oilers will say yes and yes, right? Oh, you want 8 years? Yes. All right, $19, $20 million a year? Yes, we're good. I don't think this is an Oilers issue. This is a McDavid issue. And let's just say if McDavid gives you whatever answer you want, oh, I'm not ready to make it now. Oh, I want to wait and go through the season and assess after the season. I want to have the ability to test the market. You could sit there and say, if you're an Oilers fan, risk it, risk it, risk it. And ultimately believe and maybe have blind loyalty that he's going to come back to you. But what happens if he doesn't? And we've seen that before in sports, right? The Cavaliers waited on LeBron. LeBron elected to go to Miami. The New York Islanders with John Tavares waited. He ended up going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I almost am of the line of thinking that if McDavid doesn't agree to a new deal this summer, then could you end the season with McDavid? Absolutely. But by the trade deadline, if you're still status quo, if that's still the same situation, bye-bye. You got to get rid of McDavid. You got to trade him. If you can't get a long-term deal done, you got to trade him. Because think about even with McDavid with the half a year left, right, if you do it by the trade deadline, think about the haul that you would still get back for Connor McDavid to go to a cup contender. And also, that team would have the ability to be the first team that could find a way to get a contract done. And you could have a leg up on the rest of the field. And I would imagine if you're trading for Connor McDavid, you have a deal already agreed upon before trading him. Like, okay, Connor, if we get this done, 8 years good, $20 million a year, all right, $19 million a year, right? Is that good? Okay, boom, we're good. And then you could really get a haul back, or even more of a haul than what you would get for Connor McDavid. What would you guys do there? Stu, let's just say the Raiders had Patrick Mahomes, right? Generational talent. You have Patrick Mahomes, and let's say this is Mahomes before he won a Super Bowl. And he's about to be a free agent. He's out in the final year of his contract, and he says, you know what? I'm not ready to sign this deal yet. Would you trade that player? Or would you run that risk of getting literally nothing back for him and letting him walk at the end of the year and just hoping that he comes back to you and ends up getting the deal done at the end of the day?
I mean, it's so tough. If it is like 50-50 where you think it's a 50-50 shot, they would re-sign, but it's uncertain. I guess you have to trade him because the hole you would get...
It's tough to say, though.
It's tough to say because what if he does re-sign? And then what if he would be willing to re-sign? You just don't know. So I feel like the hole will be too great either for a Mahomes or, in this case, a McDavid. So I think I would be on the side of trading him, unfortunately.
And here's the other thing. I'm not in the business of making the argument right now that I wouldn't want Connor McDavid on my team. Let me be clear. But you look at the way that the Panthers are constructed and how deep they are, and then you look how the Oilers are deep, don't get me wrong, but the Oilers are also top-heavy. The Oilers appeal is, when you say Oilers, what do you say? You say McDavid, you say Dreisaitl, two of the top four players in the league. When you look at the Florida Panthers, think how many names that they got. Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov, Carter Verhaeghe. They get Brad Marchand, Reinhardt, who had four goals last night. Just look how deep they are. And do they have a top five player in the league? No. But they have so many guys that are either good or borderline great, and look how well oiled that machine is and how they're basically unbeatable right now, and they've won the last two Stanley Cups, and the only victories that the Oilers got this year in the Stanley Cup final came in overtime games. So if you get rid of McDavid, you're trading a generational talent. You are trading the best player in the league. You're trading someone that the commissioner of the NHL said he's arguably the most talented player, the most skillful player to ever put skates on. That's who you're trading away. Let me be clear. My preference is to get the deal done. My preference is to get the long-term deal done. But you already have Leon Draisaitl locked up. If McDavid isn't willing to give you a firm yes and put the ink to the paper and get this deal done this offseason, you have to trade him. And the pieces and the capital that you'd be able to get back, in a weird way, I don't know if you're immediately better, but you could through the years become a more well-rounded hockey team. I'm being as clear as I could be on this. If I'm the Oilers, I want to get the deal done this offseason with McDavid. I want to extend him. I want him to finish his career with the Edmonton Oilers and hope he eventually wins a cup with the Edmonton Oilers. But if you can't get a yes this offseason, if you can't get, okay, get the press conference, we're doing the extension, here's the years, here's the money, boom, we're good to go. Not only do you have to seriously contemplate trading Connor McDavid, you could let this go for a few months into the season, a few weeks into the season, but if there's still no agreement made, if you really can't get this deal done made over the summer, then at some point from the start of the season to the deadline, or even the offseason, you got to get rid of him. You have to, because you can't let the best player in the sport walk out for nothing. You can't be the Cavs who saw LeBron James leave, and know he eventually came back, but at the time, no one thought that was going to be the case. You can't be the Islanders where you have egg on your face. Oh, John Tavares is never going to leave us. And then he's posting a photo of him in his jammies, when he grew up as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and then he signs with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't run that risk. And I know it's not easy saying, oh, we're going to trade the best player in the sport. But you're only saying that if Connor McDavid is wishy-washy and he is going to vacillate and he can't give you a firm yes when you say, do you want to get a deal done and do you want to be an Edmonton Oiler? If he gives you, oh, I'm not ruling you out, but I maybe want to test the market. Or I'm not ruling you out, but I'm not ready to sign the deal this offseason. Then you say, all right, Connor, we love you. We'll give you one more chance. But that means you're sitting there with us, you're dating us, and you're looking elsewhere. And usually when that happens, 9.9 times out of 10, unless if you just love to be a toxic couple and you love to be on one of these shows, Love Island, guess what usually happens? The person that has eyes wandering in a different direction ends up leaving you. And yet usually end up getting left with nothing. The Oilers can't afford to be left with nothing. If McDavid isn't going to sign a long-term extension with them, you can't run the risk of, oh, you get it done next year. You have to trade him. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Let me get into the Panthers, who just repeated. So the Eagles just won the championship. The Dodgers just won the World Series, beating the Yankees. Sorry, Stu and Samter. And can I say this? Does anyone think, Samter, do you think the Pacers are going to win the next two games?
No, but I'm not going to count them out. So I'm not calling the Thunder the champion.
Right now, I put a gun to your head. Who wins the NBA championship?
The Thunder, but it's game six. We're not talking about a 3-0 Thunder lead. It's 3-2.
With who knows what the heck is going on with Halliburton, too. Actually, we have audio from Halliburton, who got the MRI yesterday. Let's hear from Tyrese Halliburton. How smart does he have to be with this calf injury that he has right now?
I think I have to be as smart as I want to be. I have to understand the risks, ask the right questions. But I'm a competitor. I want to play. I'm going to do everything in my power to play. And that's just what it is. But, I mean, I think the answer to that is dependent on who you ask.
And let's also hear from Tyrese Halliburton, the choice between playing or not playing come tomorrow night.
I have a lot of trust in our medical staff. I have a lot of trust in our organization to make the right decision. I think there's been many situations through the course of my career where they've trusted me on my body. And I'm questionable from time to time throughout the course of the season. And they trust me to make the right decision on my body when the power is in my hands. And, I'm going to try my best to do that. But, I mean, you understand, I want to be out there. And, you know, that's the plan.
Goes without saying, maybe, but if this was regular season, would you even think about playing? And does it feel like something that would keep you out for a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that would probably be the case, but we're not in the regular season, so it is what it is.
Do you think he's playing tomorrow night, Stu?
I think he tries, and then maybe after like 6 minutes or a quarter, that'll be it.
That's the other thing. There has to be a heightened awareness on Rick Carlisle right now, where Rick Carlisle got slammed the other night because he went back to Halliburton when it was clear that Halliburton had nothing in that game. So you could test it out, but if this turns into an OG Anunoby situation with the hamstring 2 years ago up against the Pacers, where he basically looked like he was holding in a number two, you know, he was doing the Paul Pierce, let's just say, and he was clearly ineffective, then you have to sit him down. Do you think Halliburton plays tomorrow night, Samter?
Stu, jeez.
Sorry, I was just talking to Stu and then I looked at you.
I think he plays. I think he is a team player enough that if he's hurting the team, like if he's playing at 70% and he just cannot pull it, he'll take himself out or Carlisle will take him out. But I do think he will give it a go. Maybe, you know, he'll play 20 minutes instead of 40 minutes, but I think he'll give it a go.
Now, he didn't say that he was playing in this press conference, right?
He did not. Basically, we had Carlisle also say it's going to be a game-time decision.
So that's what I just saw this on my feed. I just put it in the Slack. Can you guys just confirm that this is legit? I think it is, but all these aggregators now, they have fake aggregators. So they have actual aggregators, and then you have people that pretend to be a different version of the aggregator. I think this Legion Hoops is the legit Legion Hoops, but just check it out and make sure that it's right, because, and I know, right, in the NBA, how many times these injury reports, they mean nothing. A player is doubtfully ends up playing, a player is probable or whatever the term is, and then he doesn't end up playing. But just double check that and let me know, and then I'll get back to it. But that's pretty big information if that's true, Samter. Do you think that's an accurate page?
It could. The page is certainly accurate. I'm assuming. I see Rick Carlisle spoke recently. I'll see if I can find any information and find that quote. The last I heard from Rick Carlisle, he said it will be a game time decision, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. So this just says just to get people out there, and I think this is the actual Legion Hoops. And this says via Evan. How do you say this guy's name? Sidri. Who covers the NBA for Forbes. Rick Carlisle says the Pacers are preparing to play Game 6 without Tyrese Halliburton. Now, this was posted earlier this morning, and I'm just seeing it now, but, you know, who knows? I'm going to say he tries to give it a go. But let me just replay the one thing. Play me the first Halliburton cut, the 15-second one, because there's wording in there where my antenna went up that maybe he's not going to play.
I think I have to be as smart as I want to be. I have to understand the risks, ask the right questions. But I'm a competitor. I want to play. I'm going to do everything in my power to play. And that's just what it is. But, I mean, I think the answer to that is dependent on who you ask.
I think the answer on that is dependent on who you ask. That makes me think he wants to play, but the organization's like, we don't think you should play. That's just my guess on the situation. Stu, do you think the Thunder are going to end up winning the championship?
I do, yes.
Okay. So then I could use the way that we were going to initially ask this question. I could phrase it this way. Let's assume the Thunder win the championship. We just saw the Panthers go back-to-back. Who's more likely to repeat? Is it the Eagles? Is it the Dodgers? Or the Thunder, presumably, that they end up winning the championship? Who would you end up picking there to repeat, most likely?
I think I go to Thunder because the NBA is kind of, you know, the Celtics are kind of injured and they're not going to be a factor next year. There's no one else in the West that really scares me. I think this could be the start of a few for the Thunder here.
Samter, Eagles, Dodgers, and assuming OKC wins it all, who's most likely to repeat and join the Panthers and going back to back?
It is too hard to repeat in the NFL. I think the Eagles have a chance, but it is hard, man.
I would put them third, and it's nothing against the Eagles,
right.
but you're right. It's just so difficult to do so. Look, the Patriots did so 2003, 2004. Then we haven't had a repeat champion since the Chiefs ended up doing so up against the 49ers and then the Eagles.
Right.
Look how long of a layoff that was.
And, you know, you look at the Dodgers. They keep adding pieces, and Otani's back on the mound. I think it's probably the Dodgers just because we've seen them do it so many times now that they just are so much better than everybody else. And if, like, the Yankees might be the best team in the AL or one of the best, I mean, they lost Cole, and, you know, now they're in this slump, and if Judge isn't playing, so it feels like the Dodgers are still ahead of everybody else.
So the thing with OKC, and I don't think that this is going to be a team that gets complacent, but when a team wins, you never know how then they react to it in the regular season. The Dodgers just continue to be super-duper aggressive, right? They just had a great season. They just won the World Series, and look how aggressive they are in the offseason still. So I'm going to say the Dodgers are one. I would then say OKC is two, and the Eagles are three. and most likely, least likely to repeat in their respective sports, assuming that the Oklahoma City Thunder do end up winning the championship. All right, 15 after the hour. This is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Did the Steelers really trade George Pickens because of Aaron Rodgers? And is Aaron Rodgers really married? There is one Aaron Rodgers expert that we have here at the Infinity Sports Network who was all over this story. He was all over this story. It's June 18th, 10 days ago. 10 days ago, he said, I know Aaron Rodgers very well. He doesn't personally know him, but just he was a fan of Aaron Rodgers. That I've heard him do enough press conferences and speak enough. He goes, I'm not so sold, and I'm not so sure that he's actually married. And lo and behold, that guy, who has always been right about Aaron Rodgers, I think may have been right because there was a big article in the New York Post about questioning the marriage of Aaron Rodgers and how some in his family doesn't actually think that he's married. So we'll get to that on the other side. What are we, TMZ? No, it's the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. All righty, a lot's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Tell me another day that doesn't end in Y, all right? Jeez. There was this whole report from the Daily Mail that he may not actually be officially married. There may have been some ceremony, but not how like normal people end up getting married. So I was perusing social media this morning, and this is not me just being a jerk, not willing to mention another show. I just legitimately don't know the name of the show. But so I think it was a show based out of Wisconsin or something online. And they were basically saying, hey, Bart Winkler had one of the great takes that have aged so just correctly in the last 10 days. Or less than 10 days. Because on June 10th, I guess Bart Winkler was on his show saying, I don't know how much I believe that Aaron Rodgers is actually married. Now, Bart Winkler used to be a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Bart Winkler is a Packers fan. And sometimes we confuse Bart's opinions with Aaron Rodgers as him being a hater. But Bart's been right on a lot about Aaron Rodgers. He was right that the Packers would be better off than the Jets when Aaron Rodgers left them. He said that year the Packers won more games than the Jets. He was right. He also then said that Aaron Rodgers is going to wait as long as maybe as like the summer to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he said it wasn't going to be right at free agency and it was going to take several months. He was right on that. And then on June 10th, Bart Winkler said he doesn't know how much he believes that Aaron Rodgers is actually married. And there's this big article in the Daily Mail. Aaron Rodgers' marriage mystery deepens his family questions if he really tied the knot with never seen wife. Is this a Manti Te'o article back in the day or now we're talking about Aaron Rodgers? So let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in the host of the Bart Winkler Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm in these same stations from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Monday through Friday on the Infinity Sports Network. He is our pal and Aaron Rodgers insider. Aaron Rodgers TMZ guy in Bart Winkler. Bart, how are you?
Two things, Zach. I'm good, and I hope you're good, too. One, yes. The clip was from my podcast.
Oh, was it really? You weren't on it, though.
Yeah, I was. The thing I used at Eclipse didn't put my face in there.
Oh, because I'm watching it, and I recognize the two people that are talking, and I go, they're talking about Bart, so I just didn't know where this was, but that's funny that it ended up being on your own podcast, and for some reason, I just didn't see your face on it.
Yeah, like and subscribe. The second is...
Highly right.
are we sure that you want to talk to me about this? I got a very long message last night, not kidding, on LinkedIn, of all places, about how someone enjoys my show, but I talk about Wisconsin sports too much. He says some of the other sports shows on your network have an East Coast bias, which is understandable, but you talk about the Packers too much and Giannis too much. So I have to go elsewhere. So yeah, are we sure this is okay?
God forbid you talk about the Packers, or God forbid you talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, I'll say this. It just shows you, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I think you've been a great addition to the network because, yes, does a show like mine, do we emanate from New York City? We do. Does a show like Maggie and Perloff emanate from New York City? Yes. Rich Eisen, his show broadcasts on the West Coast. JR is in Atlanta. Sure, Pat Boyle is here in New York City. But I thought them bringing in you when you do your show out of Milwaukee in Wisconsin is great, because we just continue to spread the map on different voices and different opinions. But this idea that we are too Northeast centric or East Coast by, it's just stupid, because I've been told when I was on the Fan in Milwaukee that the night when the Bucks won the championship, I said, oh, we're going to get exempt or we're going to get preempted for local program. They said, no, you're basically like a local show with how much you talk about the Packers and the Bucks. So, you know, if you started talking about all New York sports.
Affiliates.
Yeah.
There are affiliates that have complained that I talk too much Milwaukee just because my show open says live from Milwaukee.
Let me tell you. Okay? And you know what? I'm not in the business of pleasing people anymore. There was an affiliate that we had when I first started. And that affiliate said, oh, Zach's show is too East Coast centric. And I said, well, can we get an explanation on that? And they said, oh, just the way that he speaks and how loud he is. and I said back to my boss, I said, never bring this up again to me. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And also, you could tell that affiliate who doesn't carry me anymore that did they think we were too East Coast centric when I had the Portland Trailblazers coach on, Terry Stotts, at the time? Did they think I was too East Coast centric when I had the Oregon football coach, Mario Cristobal, when he was on at the time, or when we get Dan Lanning on like once a month in football season? It's like crazy to me. You give a mouse a cookie and they want a glass of milk. Yeah, there are going to be times when I'm going to be talking about East Coast teams. It's not because we're East Coast biased. It's because it's a huge freaking story. What, the Knicks? I'm not supposed to talk about their coaching search when everyone's talking about it? It's stupid sometimes. It really is.
And I just have to remind people night to night that Giannis is not leaving. I'm right about that, too. But did you have, I'm sorry to distract you, you have a specific Rodgers question that you needed answered today?
Oh, yes. So take me through your line of thinking, because you're the first person that I heard this, and then it was followed up by the Daily Mail and also the New York Post. Why were you not buying that Aaron Rodgers, when he's wearing a wedding ring, wasn't actually married?
All right. So there is a history of Rodgers using language in a way to make you think one thing when it's really
what
the
can
opposite
we be talking
is
about?
True.
Now, we're not going to get into the whole vaccine conversation, but that's what you're talking about. You want to get vaccinated, great. If you don't, whatever. But when he said he's immune, but hold on. When he said, I just know how people react to that. When he said he's immunized, that made me think he was vaccinated, and clearly that wasn't the case.
Yes, but that is just one example. So this is not, and you always have to preface this. I always have to preface this.
Yeah.
This is not a take about the coronavirus, okay?
Yes.
This is not a take about that. This is another example in how Aaron Rodgers speaks. The first time that we noticed this, it was like in 2017, far before any of the other drama, where he famously, and they've come up again in this story from the Daily Mail, where he and his family are on the outs or they don't get along or something. And so he's talking at the locker and someone asked him what he did over the Thanksgiving holiday. And he said, oh, I was with my folks. And I think colloquially, folks means
parents.
It means parents.
Yeah.
It means your family.
If I said I'm with my folks, I'm thinking I'm with my parents, 100%.
Everyone thinks that. He then had to clarify later, no, I was with my friends, which is now he's reverted to calling that his inner circle.
Okay.
Because no one can have a group of friends anymore. It's got to be an inner circle. So he has used this language in the past. And then, of course, I've been immunized.
Yeah.
I don't know why he does it.
So here's what I think happened. I do think there is a girl. I do think he thinks he's married to her. I do think there was some ceremony. But since Rodgers is kind of a contrarian, I don't think what the wording is, he went through a legally binding wedding. That's what I think happened here.
But if you, so the whole reason I was like, my ears perked up is because obviously he started wearing this, what looks like a wedding ring.
Yeah.
I think that this is one of these sports wedding rings, you know, you wear while you're playing or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So he's,
Yeah, it's not. It's not like the metal band or so. It's one. Yeah. Actually, a lot of people that are now get that type of wedding ring, guys. I see that. Not just only sports, not only athletes.
Yeah, and he had it in
you're
the picture where he signed.
You're just not hip in people getting married these days because you've been married so long.
He had it in the picture where he signed with the Steelers. And at first, me and these other guys I was doing this podcast with were like, there's no way he's married. They're, we know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. There's no way he's married. And he's going to wait for someone to ask him about it. He's not going to volunteer any information. He's going to wait for someone to ask about it. And then we were recording one show during the afternoon. And then I go, oh, my God, you guys, he was asked the question. And then one of the other guys goes, what did he say he's been married? He probably said he's been married for a couple of months, did he? And that's exactly what he said. But if you listen to the Q&A, someone goes, oh, Aaron, is there something else like hinting at the wedding band? He goes, yeah, this is a wedding ring. And then another guy says, how long's it been? And he jumps in and goes, oh, a couple months. The word marriage, married, wife, it was never said in the Q&A. But when you hear that Q&A, any normal person equates that to, oh, he's been married for a couple months. So that's why the headlines ran with it. And I'm thinking, based on how he's talked about every other thing like this weird, this weird, like, dissection of language where he says things in a different way to mislead you. But and people always say, Zach, they say, oh, Aaron knows what he's doing. He is such a master with his words. But why? What is the point of any of this?
Did you watch legally married?
What?
Did you watch the documentary that he put out?
No, I will never watch that.
Okay. Well, I was very annoyed because they used the clip from our show. And they did not they did not credit us, and they did not put me on the screen. They just put Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But anyway, in that documentary, he never said, like, everything's going to be great with this family, but he made it seem as if there was an improved relationship. So if there's an improved relationship, then obviously things could change. And even though you've had a rocky past with your family, and that's somewhat well-documented, if you're having a wedding— even if it's something small, even if it's a ceremony that's still not legally binding, but you think it's a wedding, even if it's just a dinner, wouldn't you invite your parents? Wouldn't you invite your brother, even if things were slippery in the past? Like, I thought things were getting better with this family.
It would at least come up in some way, like, oh, by the way, I'm married. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would at least come up. In some way. And again,
because the Daily Mail says,
mind,
and just to be clear, the Daily Mail says that insiders to know the family said the family is unconvinced the marriage is real and the new Steelers quarterback may have had a symbolic commitment ceremony instead of a legally binding wedding. Now, it's very particular. Yeah. If you don't want to go through it the legally binding way and that's Aaron Rodgers, that's fine. That's what I think happened here is he's basically, this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. This is the person I'm marrying, but I'm Aaron Rodgers. Mm. I'm not going to go about it as if I was Bart Winkler or Zach Gelb or any normal human being.
Not only does he have to do it a different way, but he wants you to believe that he's doing it the normal way.
Yeah.
So then when you, because he will be questioned on this at some point. Oh, are you not married? Just like he was with the vaccination, just like he was with the, did you see your parents? And then he will like, use it against you. He did the same nonsense when he was hurt, remember? And then there were reports that
he might
come back from a torn ACL in 2 weeks. He did the same nonsense then. He does the same nonsense all the time. I don't even know that he enjoys it anymore. I just think it's a weird thing that he does. And I can't believe how many times we see the cheese in the mousetrap and still go eat it.
Now, people could say that Aaron Rodgers has real estate rented in Bart Winkler's head. They could say that you're a hater. You've been right on most of your Rodgers analysis. So I'll just ask you
this
question.
I'm just trying to tell people what's what. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and don't do too much of it because then you're talking too much about the Packers and Rodgers and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Don't do too much of it. But I was reading this article in Larry Brown Sports today. And it said Rodgers had not yet signed with the Steelers when Pickens was dealt to the Dallas Cowboys on May 7th. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the team had already determined at that point that Pickens and his maturity issues were unlikely to go over well with Rodgers, and it was a factor in the decision to make the trade. Do you think the Steelers traded George Pickens because of their fear that Aaron Rodgers and George Pickens weren't going to mesh?
I mean, they could have. I don't know. I don't think that. Is it that volatile that you can't have George Pickens on this team?
Well, I think what they did was, I don't think it has anything to do with Rodgers, to be clear. I think that what they did was Mike Tomlin had enough of George Pickens' act. He had enough of George Pickens thinking he was Jerry Rice and thinking he's this great wide receiver, and they knew that they weren't going to sign into a long-term extension, so they said, let's just get rid of him. That's what I think it is, but this is one of those things where I do believe that this is a situation where people just tie Aaron Rodgers' name to it.
Yeah, I'm more with you on that one. I think the whole Steelers, the 2 months of waiting, they were telegraphing that. I mean, Rodgers visited them. They were not going into the season with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's a great, throw some passes in May kind of guy. We know who you are. All of this Rodgers stuff is telegraphed. It just drives me crazy that I feel like I'm the only one that can see it.
Okay, let's see if you can predict this, and then I'll let you run, Bart Winkler. Just give me win or loss. I'm giving you the Steelers schedule. You ready?
Oh, God.
At the Jets.
They'll win that game.
Seahawks.
Are we doing the whole schedule?
Yeah, just win loss.
No, I'll tell you right now, they're going to be 9-8.
Okay. Oh, geez. I was trying to kill two more minutes there. And there you go. You just got to go. I think they're going to be 9-8.
Ask me about Giannis, maybe.
No, it's fine. I've had enough of you. There he is, the great Bart Winkler. You can listen to him tonight.
Not getting traded, by the way. Still not getting traded.
I'm with you on that. I only thought for a minute. I thought for a day and a half that he was going to get traded, and now I'm back into being the savior in Milwaukee, and right, keep the Greek freak and whatever I used to say, sign that Supermax, and I am of the belief that Giannis will start the season on the Milwaukee Bucks. That's how I'll word it.
If I just may.
Yeah.
May I? Do I have a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
So for 10 years, people are trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's how we became
and
friends.
And then the Shams report, where he says, for the first time, Giannis, for the first time, if you're going to do Giannis trades and speculate anymore,
do them right.
I need the following things from you. I need an apology for wasting everyone's time for the last decade. I need an acknowledgement that you're going to still continue to do this and continue to waste everyone's time. And I also need any trade proposal to at minimum start with a Desmond Bane kind of offer. Because some of these trade proposals for Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's not Milwaukee's, it's not we're doing you a favor giving you our guy, which is how every trade proposal is centered. Let's show some respect on this great Midwestern beacon of hope, dreams, and freedom.
Sorry, I'm just an East Coast-based show, so I don't want to listen to what you have to say about this stuff.
And I totally understand that. That is the pushback I always get.
He is Bart Winkler, who is live in Milwaukee, joining us right here on the Zach Gelb Show. You can listen to Bart tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Bart, thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right, there he is. Surprise appearance from Bart Winkler. When we come on back, Take 5 Wednesday. Who is the most pressure to win their first championship? We'll give you those five options when we come on back and how I rank them 1 through 5. Update time first. Here's the Ackman. We have news in the Cleveland Browns quarterback competition. Stu, do you have any idea what the news is right now? Just saw this article 5 minutes ago on Pro Football Talk.
Has one of the veterans been traded?
That'd be inaccurate.
Okay.
Even though I did see something, this is related to this conversation, but not where I'm going at, that Mike Florio is saying that the Browns probably prefer to trade Kenny Pickett. So that's something that he was saying because he believes, like I do, I'm assuming, that Joe Flacco is going to win the job. And then there's really two competitions where it's Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel then competing for the second and third spots. And there's only a two-man competition for the one spot. That's between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Sam, any guests here? What's going on in the latest Browns quarterback competition?
They've traded for Jameis Winston.
No. He just left.
Yeah, they're bringing him back.
They
realize the quarterback room doesn't have enough veteran leadership.
I'm reading this on Pro Football Talk. Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders was ticketed in the Cleveland suburb of Strongsville for driving 101 miles per hour in a 60 miles per hour zone. Fox 8 in Cleveland reports that the police record shows Sanders received a citation for driving 101 miles per hour on 71 North at 12:24 a.m. on Tuesday. Sanders could either pay a fine or contest the ticket in court. So it's a speeding ticket. 101 in a 60 mile per hour zone.
It's a highway.
At 12:24 in the morning?
It's a highway. There's probably no other cars on the road.
Mike, 101? I love Shador. Who goes 101 miles per hour?
I've done it multiple times.
Well, I wouldn't say that you're a role model, if I'm being honest. I don't think that if you're in driver's ed right now listening to the show, that we should... There's no reason to go 101. If you're saying going 80, 85, all right. On a highway, no one's there. 80, 85, even normally.
I go 80, 85 on a highway, yeah. Like normal.
Mike, 101?
Right, 101 is fast, and so he should get a ticket.
Oh, thank you, acknowledging that's fast.
But like, I'm not killing the guy for 160.
101 miles per
I'm
hour.
I'm not killing 60. Him for 160.
I'm not saying you need to kill him.
No,
but
give
the
him
fact
a ticket,
that you think
let him
that's
pay the
right.
fine, and let him go to a class and you know, talk to kids about why you
we're gonna take a 30 here. Take a 30 here, and this is going to be the 30. The views of Mike Santer do not reflect the views of Zach Gelb on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And trust me, I have PBA cards out the wazoo. And even I wouldn't go 101 in a 60-mile-per-hour zone.
What's the fastest you've ever driven?
100 miles per hour.
In what speed zone?
In Florida, when the speed limit's 85 on one of those highways.
I don't think the speed limit's 85 anywhere in the world.
No, and on the highways in Florida, it's like 80, 85 or something like that. The fastest I've ever gone is 100 miles per hour. Look at you. What are you, like a little rat? You're Googling. Like, what's there's a highway somewhere in Florida where it's 80 or 85 miles an hour, and I gone 100. And I went 100 for about 3 seconds, and I said, I'm going way too fast. Because I'm used to driving on highways that are 65, where then the most, like, going fast to me is 80. That's going fast to me, is 80 miles per hour, and that's even way too fast. When I'm driving highway, the fastest I'm usually going is 75 miles an hour.
The highest speed limit in Florida is 70 miles per hour.
Okay, you could look that up on the internet, and that could tell you whatever. I know what I saw. You know what? Next time I'm in Florida, I'll send you a picture of it.
The highest speed limit in America is a small stretch in Texas that is 85 miles an hour in Texas. No other state.
Oh, maybe it was when I was in Texas or San Antonio.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe it was that.
I did have a car there, so maybe that's what it was. All righty. Let's get to a little Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show where we got Paul Blart, the mall cop. Santer's going to ask me some Speak Now Forever Hold Your Peace questions. Go ahead.
The football season might be over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take 5 Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
Just one quick question. What did you say the max speed limit was in Florida?
70 miles per hour.
70. However, a bill has been proposed to increase the maximum speed limit to 75 miles per hour on certain highways. So I'm just saying, I don't know when this is from.
So when you drove 100, you knew that law was coming into effect, so you preemptively decided to go 100.
But still, 60, 60, and going 101 is ridiculous. That's a lot. It's unnecessary. Anyway, here's the question today. Who is the most pressure to win his first ring? 1 through 5. I'll start at 5. Now, hold on. Wait a second. This is not how I ordered it, so let me just reorder it. I'm looking at the rundown, and I'm like, that's not how I feel. Anyway, in at number 5, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is in at number 5. Two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. He has a problem right now in getting past not only Josh Allen, but also Patrick Mahomes. So I put Lamar Jackson at number 5. In at number 4, I go Connor McDavid. Now, he got to back-to-back Stanley Cup final. There are some uncertainties in terms of, is he going to stay with 1 year left in the contract? But I put Connor McDavid in at number 4. 3. Here's where I'm going Aaron Judge at 3. Stu, all-time great Yankees. What do all-time great Yankees have?
Rings and multiple of them.
Now, Judge is going to be an all-time great player. Barry Bonds, an all-time great player, doesn't have a ring. But the Yankee culture is different. You really want to be one of us, right, in the Yankee culture, which I'm not a Yankee fan. You got to go get a ring. So I put Aaron Judge in at 3. 2, Caitlin Clark, because intentional or not, she's very divisive and very polarizing. And that's the one trump card that people now have that are Caitlin Clark haters. Well, what has she won? That's what Anthony Gallo says all the time in the newsroom. And in at number 1, it's Josh Allen. He's the second best quarterback in the NFL. They've had so many close games up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and unfortunately, he's just been on the wrong side of them, and he's gunning the Bills to try to make them their first ever Super Bowl championship, give them their first ever Super Bowl championship Lombardi Trophy. Sam, to speak now, forever hold your peace.
I got 3 guys in the NBA, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, and Embiid.
Luka has pressure. There will be more pressure when LeBron is no longer there. Embiid, I think that ship has already sailed. And that's not going to happen. Anthony Edwards, I think there's limitations right now that he could just get to the conference finals, and that's what I think the apex is.
Go over to the NFL. So a trio of quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff.
So Dak, I don't think there's a belief that he's going to win a Super Bowl.
But there's pressure on him.
I don't think so. The Cowboys,
there's pressure on the organization.
Well, not really. The Cowboys, how about they get to an NFC championship game first? They haven't got there since 1995. Goff, there is pressure on, but Allen and Lamar are better players. You said Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow still gets the benefit of the doubt because of the organization and the fact that he took that team already to a Super Bowl.
And then we look at baseball, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, whose Nationals won the title the year after he left.
Yeah, Trout, to me, it's one of those things where if you asked me this 5 years ago, he'd probably be number one, or 6 years ago, number one. I just don't think he'll ever win a championship until he leaves the Angels, and he doesn't seem like he's going to do that. And Bryce Harper is definitely a fair one who's had a window the last few years, and you're starting to wonder how much longer is that window going to stay open in Philadelphia. Has ring culture gone too far? LeBron James' comments would suggest so. I think they're unnecessary. I'll tell you why next.